This is Barbara Ridenour returning with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review dated September 2, 2016. We'll continue with the obituaries. Clyde Clarkson, 91 of Decatur, died Wednesday, August 31, 2016. A service to celebrate his life will be held at 2 p.m. Sunday, September 4th, at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home, Mount Zion. Burial will be in Ridge Cemetery. Visitation will begin at 12:30 p.m. until service time on Sunday afternoon. Memorials may be made to the Heavenly Chariots / Christian Motorcycle Association or the La Place United Methodist Church. Sandra Elizabeth Jordan, 69 of Decatur, died Tuesday, August 30th, 2016. Honoring her wishes, cremation services will be provided by the Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home and Cremation Center of Decatur. Memorials may be directed to Come Together, Let's Walk, 126 West North Street of Decatur. Virginia M. Witzel, 85 of Decatur, died Tuesday, August 30th, 2016. Graveside services to celebrate her life were held at 2 p.m. today, September 2nd, in Graceland Cemetery. Memorials are suggested to Holy Family Catholic School, 2400 South Franklin, Decatur. Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. Now we'll turn to the opinion page and continue with letters to the editor. Writer is wrong about transgender teens. About a month ago, a letter to the editor was printed in this paper titled, Restroom Policy Should Contain Common Sense. The article supported school districts that opposed the Federal Department of Justice directive for transgender students to use restroom locker rooms corresponding to their gender preference. This directive is currently being tested and worked out in the courts, and I hope it will eventually be upheld. Since I have worked with transgender youth for several years, I object to the writer's reference to a boy using a girl's restroom or locker room. Boys in quotes. The writer makes it sound as though this is a regular hormonal male teenager using girls' facilities. This entirely misses the point for a transgender female teen. For them, they feel like a girl in a male body. The writer makes it sound like teenage girls must be protected from experiencing a transgender girl in their facilities. First, the transgender student is more at risk than the other girls by being subject to bullying and other forms of meanness. Second, some teen girls are often unsympathetic to transgender girls by giving them fashion and makeup tips. The writer tries to make us think that a transgender girl in a male's body using the girls' facilities is like a fox in the chicken coop. Such a notion is far from the truth. Signed, Mark Schleter, Decatur. Now, thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs up to Baby Talks Rock the Park event, marking the 30th year of the organization with music, food, and fun in Central Park, with families being at its heart. It was only fitting that the organization chose to celebrate in this way. Baby Talk was founded in 1986 and supports families and others in the community in nurturing school readiness and optimal child development. Thumbs up to Lauren Doyle for returning to her alma mater following her recent participation in the Rio Olympics as a member of the U.S. women's rugby team. The 2009 Meridian High School graduate spent time last week talking with current students and was recognized at halftime of the school's football game. Olympic athletes from Macon County are pretty rare, but Doyle is proof that anything is possible if you put your mind to it. Thumbs up to Lisa Creason for leading the push for legislation that opens the door to employment opportunities for people who have been prevented from being licensed for certain healthcare jobs because of past legal indiscretions. In Creason's case, it was an attempted robbery conviction. Governor Bruce Rauner signed the legislation during a visit to Richland Community College, where Creason obtained an associate's degree in preparation for becoming a registered nurse, only to be told later that she couldn't take the state test. Rauner praised Creason for her efforts to knock down barriers that keep people down. Thumbs up to the Illinois Capital Development Board for restoring funding for the Richland Community College Student Success Center construction project. The project has been gathering rust, waiting for the $4.2 million that had been promised to Richland for the building that will allow for the consolidation of various student services. Thumbs down. While we are happy for Richland Community College, we can't help but remain frustrated by the state for continuing to hold other projects, services, and debts owed to various providers hostage while they continue to play politics with the state's budget. It's obvious both sides are more worried about securing their jobs in the November election than serving the people they are paid to represent. Thumbs up to the state police and local law enforcement officials for their handling of the investigation into the state police officer-involved shooting in Decatur. The state police did its part by efficiently collecting the information needed to provide a complete picture of what happened during the early morning of July 11th when the officer Andrew Whitmer shot an armed Lonnie D. Mitchell. Based on that information, Macon County State's Attorney Jay Scott and his team made the right decision in finding Whitmer's actions justified. Thumbs up to former Governor Pat Quinn for continuing to push for a referendum that would seek a change in the way the state's legislative districts are drawn. His actions followed a 4-3 decision by the Illinois Supreme Court finding a proposal to amend the Illinois Constitution to create an independent redistricting commission went beyond what's allowed for a petition initiative. Now back to local news. Agency consortium decides to disband Decatur. Time has run out for the city's Human Service Agency Consortium, a group of social service agencies that have worked together since the 1980s. Representatives of about a dozen of those agencies decided at a luncheon meeting Thursday to disband and ask the full membership via email what should be done with the consortium's remaining funds. Lucy Brownlee of the Coalition for Veterans Concerns was the first to say what everyone around the table seemed to be thinking. It's pretty obvious we don't have people to step up and run the nonprofit corporation the way it needs to be done, Brownlee said. Macy Barnett, one of only two remaining executive board members for HSAC, said nearly 40 agencies are on the roster. Michelle Boatman, health work supervisor for the Macon County Health Department, and the other executive board member, added that the consortium did not charge dues for 2015 or 2016, however. One sign HSAC was in trouble came about a year ago when the consortium decided to forego what would have been its 27th annual awards luncheon. Much of Thursday's meeting was devoted to a presentation by Sarah Tapscott, Illinois Network Manager for Forefront, to the 20 people in attendance to see if HSAC agencies would like to join the statewide association of grantmakers and nonprofits. Afterward, members who were able to stay discussed options for about $10,000 remaining in the consortium's Teddy Bear Dental Fund and a similar amount in general funds. They included giving the dental funds to the health department, returning general funds to the agencies that paid them as dues, or using those monies to pay for an agency's first year of Forefront membership. Several people expressed the hope that regular meetings for networking would continue, and representatives of five agencies volunteered to work informally to make that happen. Those agencies were the Child Care Resource Service, Coalition for Veterans Concerns, Good Samaritan Inn, Planned Parenthood, and Prairie Land Service Coordination. HSAC has generally had a luncheon meeting at noon on the first Thursday of the month at Central Christian Church. The program has featured a speaker or panel discussion and time for introductions and agencies announcements. I personally feel like Forefront will offer you a lot more for your membership than HSAC is currently offering you, Boatman said. We've tried to do really good things over the years. HSAC has done a lot of good things, and I think it's time to hand off coordination to someone with a paid staff. In education, LSA Library Streamlines. Decatur, Angela Martinek spent nearly all summer break reorganizing and digitizing the Lutheran School Association Library with the help of some volunteers. We have library cards now, Martinick said to a class of second graders learning how the new library works before choosing books. Do you know how many kids are in this building? 300. That's a lot of names for Mrs. Martinick to remember. The books were previously organized by author names and checked out with handwritten cards that too often were misplaced or lost entirely, making it difficult for Martinick to keep track of who had a book or which books were checked out, and the handwritten cards also made the checkout process slow. Martinick put books on a barcode system, and the library cards have them too. So all she has to do is scan the card in the book, and the whole checkout takes seconds to complete. By also grouping books by genre instead of author names, Martinick said, she hopes that kids who like, for example, the Harry Potter books, would see other books nearby and be willing to try something new. The last couple of years, the kids would always want to know, where are the scary books? Where are the animal books? Where are the mystery books, she said. Before, they were all put together by author and had numbers, and everything was everywhere. So unless I knew specifically where it was hard to lay hands on it. So I decided to group everything by genre. So kids who were looking for science fiction could go to the science fiction section and pull it out. Maybe that would open them up to other books. Martinick has been the librarian for 3 years, and she said some kids check out the same books week after week. She wants them to expand their horizons. Ellen Garver is the library person for her classroom and will be in charge of bringing the book cart back to Martinick, she said. And she was one of the youngsters who was sad to hear that the latest Elephant and Piggy book, Thank You, is the last one ever. Why? Several young voices asked when Martinick showed them the book and broke the news. The books are very popular among young readers. Author Mo Willems has decided to move on to other characters, Martinick said. All 25 books are in the LSA's library. One of the library rules is that the first person to touch a book gets it, if he or she wants it. And Olivia Randy is the one who got to check out Thank You. The characters appeal to her. They're funny, she said. They do fun things. They're also featured in signs throughout the library that read, Thank you for being a reader. Andrix, everyone should have health care in Decatur. Crossing Healthcare CEO Tanya Andrix operates under a basic assumption that's hard to disagree with. Everyone should be provided health care. Andrix gave a presentation Thursday as part of Milliken's Science Entrepreneurship speaker series called Our Thinking is Upside Down, How Healthcare Needs a New Approach. Andrix provided statistics from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD, that showed despite the U.S. spending more on healthcare than any other country in the world, $3.3 trillion annually, it ranked tied for last with Greece among the 34 OECD countries in access to health care. Are we getting our money's worth? Andrix asked. I don't think so. The result, Andrix said, is a low-income population racked with chronic disease. 86% of money expended on health care in 2010 was for people with one or more chronic disease. A large chunk of that, 86%, was living in poverty. In this country, we can predict your life expectancy by your socioeconomic status, Andrix said. Providing health care to everyone is the right thing to do, Andrick said. I know that makes a lot of people cringe, but we have the resources here. We don't turn anyone away. Not only is leaving people without health care the wrong thing to do, it costs us more in the long run. Andrick said that there are more than 33,000 people in Macon County living at or below the poverty line. Crossing is serving 17,000 patients, but Andrick would like to see that number between 25,000 and 28,000. We're not at capacity, Andrick said. I realize we're not going to serve all 33,000, but we have room to serve more. Andrick said, in addition to the access problem, the healthcare system in the U.S. is still operating on a fee-for-service payment model. When it comes to treating acute illnesses such as heart attacks and strokes, the U.S. is among the best. But there's little incentive in preventing illness. Doctors don't get paid if the patients aren't sick, Andrick said. We're not productive at all. Andrick said, the good news is that thought process is changing. The federal government recently formed the National Prevention Council, but Andrick said, as a country, we shouldn't wait for the changes being enacted at the federal level. It starts with families, schools, workplaces, places of worship, playgrounds, and parks, she said. As a community, we have to stop thinking of health as something we react to. In state news, Rauner fires 29 from patronage scandal under predecessors. Springfield. Governor Bruce Rauner fired 29 Illinois Department of Transportation employees Thursday, who were among hundreds improperly hired based on political connections. In an announcement in which he labeled it the end of an IDOT political scandal stretching back more than a decade, Rauner said he issued layoff notices to the last of the staff assistants who investigations found were hired based on clout instead of merit. We have worked for taxpayers to ensure proper hiring at all of our state agencies, Rauner said in a prepared statement. This is an additional step to restore citizens' faith in state government so it works for them and not for the political insiders. The IDOT staff assistants were told their last day is September 15th. A 1990 U.S. Supreme Court ruling from Illinois bans most political hiring in state government, but hundreds of people were hired into the IDOT posts starting in 2003 under Democratic governors Rod Blagojevich and Pat Quinn. Blagojevich, impeached, removed from office, and imprisoned on federal corruption charges, had other hiring scandals while he was governor from 2003 to 2009. This one didn't surface until his successor, Pat Quinn, took office. In fact, the practice increased under Quinn, a review found. The state's inspector general found in 2014 that the politically connected hires should have been put into their positions based on merit. The High Court ruling, known as Rutan, allows consideration of political loyalty in filling sensitive policymaking positions or those involving confidential information or which require public statements. The Inspector General's investigation determined that IDOT often filled the jobs with politically connected candidates to perform tasks related to those functions, but they ended up doing routine jobs such as answering phones and mowing lawns, and therefore the posts should have been open to anyone. The issue became pivotal in the 2014 race for governor, in which Rauner defeated Quinn. A special master appointed in a lawsuit resulting from the scandal found last summer that instead of determining a need for a worker and conducting a blind hiring process, IDOT identified a favored candidate and manipulated the job to fit. The Monitor, Chicago attorney Noel Brennan, also said in a court finding that Rauner administration was not fully cooperating with her investigation, which a Rauner spokesman denied. On the Life page, Melodies to Share, Oldies but Goodies, semi-retired pastor still putting songs in hearts of the elderly. Decatur. A shawl draped over her lap, the woman in the wheelchair seemed to be sleeping. Until you noticed, that is, that one of her hands was bouncing in time to the music, and her lips were mouthing all the words. Indeed, many of the dozen or so residents of the Piatt County Nursing Home in Monticello appeared to know most of the lyrics to the songs they had gathered to hear. "I loved it," said Beulah Newman, 95, another of the women. "It was the best thing I've heard in a long time." Their guitar-playing troubadour was Reverend Phil Hansen, who may have pretty much retired from full-time church pastoring a couple of years ago, but has no plans to end his music ministry to senior adults. "I've been at it for 45 years," he said. "I had the privilege of watching my parents grow old, and I just love this for the elderly. I enjoy talking to them and loving them." Hansen, 73, of Argenta, is one of several people who volunteer their time this way. He's been here before, so one of the employees here contacted him about coming back, said Pam Workman, activities director at the Piatt County Nursing Home. "It's nice to have people willing to come in and entertain the residents in the highlight of their day." Hansen also made his first appearance. Recently at Evergreen Senior Living Center in Decatur after reaching out to the staff there. He and his friend Norma Dowd, 71, of Mohiqua, travel as far as Springfield, Lincoln, Clinton, Champaign-Urbana, Sullivan, and Assumption so he can play and sing at nursing homes, assisted living communities, and churches. His 45-minute set includes old favorites such as "She'll Be Coming Round the Mountain," "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog," and "It's No Secret What God Can Do," plus a patriotic medley he plays to honor any military veterans present. The resident so honored at Piatt County Nursing Home was Lyle Cole, 92, who served in the Marines. Hansen shakes hands and speaks with each member of his audience after he's finished. An Urbana native and graduate of Lincoln Christian Seminary, he was pastor previously at Oriana Christian Church, the Decatur Church of the Brethren, and most recently at DeLand Christian Church. But his musical resume is just about as long. He sang for a decade with the Living Water Trio, but has performed solo since the 2010 death of his singing partner and wife, the former Zelda Marie Hale Fisher of Argenta. Hansen said he goes out to perform 5 to 7 times a month, and unlike other people, finds visiting nursing homes to be anything but a downer. "So many older folks are just existing because they believe no one cares about them," he said. "I love being a blessing to them and bringing a smile to their faces." Some Horsetown residents say Hindu Cultural Center. Norco, California. The Southern California city of Norco markets itself as Horsetown, USA, and it's not unusual for cowboy hat-wearing residents to head out for lunch or run errands on horseback in its Old West-style downtown. Local leaders celebrate that rural equestrian lifestyle and are protective of it. Those who build must ensure their property includes Western architectural features, such as a metal roof or overhang. But some Indian Americans are questioning the sincerity of that standard after the city council rejected a proposal for a Hindu cultural center on a hilltop, partly on grounds that the large domed building wouldn't fit in. They think the decision, which came after residents urged the city to keep its culture and questioned why proponents choose the site, is discriminatory. Dr. Krupali Tejura, a radiation oncologist who grew up in nearby Corona and works at an area hospital, got involved in the debate because she was offended by those who argued the center didn't fit. How does a community or city decide it doesn't fit in with their lifestyle? How far does this go? She asked. Mayor Kevin Bash rejected that assertion. "We turn down a lot of businesses. If they don't want to have a Western theme, guess what? They don't get built," he said, adding the center also was too big for such a steep lot, and there were drainage concerns. Norco's 26,000 residents are tucked in among the vast suburbs south and east of Los Angeles. Once overwhelmingly white, the area has seen a surge of in Hispanics and more recently Asians. Southern California's Indian population is relatively small, accounting for only 1% of the population in a 4-county area spanning Los Angeles and its southern and eastern suburbs, and is spread out across different cities. But census data show the community has grown in recent years, especially in Riverside County, where Norco is located. There is a Sikh temple in Norco inside a Grange Hall turned church, and a Hindu temple in the neighboring county, and Indian movies are shown at the Corona Theater. The controversy over the proposed cultural center has focused attention on how Norco can keep its Western theme and rural lifestyle while incorporating newcomers, and how those who arrive in the city can adapt to their surroundings while retaining their culture. Manu Patolia, who proposed the project, said he is willing to ditch the domes and revamp the designs of the 25,000-square-foot Swaminarayan Gurukul Center, which would host Indian language classes for children and yoga for the community at large. I ran around and took some pictures in Norco, and I showed them. Please tell us which one is the Western one we can follow, Patolia said. Patolia started laying out the changes for council members, but was told a revised project would need to go back to the city planners for review. He said he's now weighing his options for the property, which he bought in the hopes of building the center. City officials said the project not only lacks Western-style architecture, but could cause drainage and parking problems. They note they've pressured businesses, ranging from veterinarians to Bob's Big Boy, whose mascot dons a city-funded cowboy hat, to get Western or get out. Maintaining that look and feel is critical to drawing visitors and investments in a horse-related business. Its rural vibe is what drew many residents to the Riverside County City in the first place, and as the suburbs grew more crowded and urban, people sought a quieter place where they could ride horses and keep chickens in their backyard. Not that things have to look like a Western fort. We really just don't want things here that are all glass and metal and look like something from Disneyland's Tomorrowland. What makes Norco a prime spot for any community center or hub is its proximity to freeways that cut across the region. The Indian American community's diverse cultures and religious traditions add to the demand for centralized locations where people can congregate, said Karthik Ramakrishnan, Associate Dean of the University of California Riverside School of Public Policy. People are mingling with different parts of the world. People are seeing different cultures. You can't just close your doors. We are eating fusion foods these days. Indian, Chinese, Indian with American, everything is becoming fusion. Why can't it become a fusion community? Here's a couple of church briefs. Shelter to hold banquet. God's Shelter of Love will hold an annual banquet on Saturday, September 10th in the Grand Palace Heartland Community Church, 3253 Brush College Road. Doors will open at 5:30 with a silent auction available. The dinner and program will begin at 6 p.m. The event is free, and the public is welcome to attend. Reservations are required by calling 217-422-2790. That's 422-2790. Talent show set for September 24th. A Raise the Roof talent show will be staged at 4 p.m. Saturday, September 24th in Lampstand Presbyterian Church, 655 South Airport Road. The grand prize is $1,000 donation to the charity or ministry of the performer's choice. For more information, call 217-428-8839. That's 428-8839. That's all we have time for today's edition of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated September 2nd, 2016. This is Barbara Ridenour. Have a great holiday weekend and week to follow. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.